This podcast is where comfort killers like myself explain useful, practical, and conscious strategies to help individuals all over the globe get up, get out, and get it done. Comfort is our number one enemy. Being comfortable is for average, ordinary, status quo folks who live their lives through social filters and under normal circumstances. Comfort killers walk a different path. We set big goals and accomplish them, achieve greatness through purposeful action, and share our experience to help save many. Get the heck off the hamster wheel and get uncomfortable already.
It's time to get up. It's time to get out. Up. It's time get to get it out. Done. Get it done.
It's time to get on.
Let you get uncomfortable with it. You know what I mean? It's time to get
uncomfortable. Good morning. Good morning, my comfort killers. I am Stacey A. Cross, and there is no E in my name. You are now listening to the Get Uncomfortable podcast show. You know if it's Thursday, you're here. It's always the perfect time. I want to help you open up your imagination today, right? So I want you to imagine that you are a rock star entrepreneur, business owner, administrative assistant, a bride-to-be, or anyone looking to plan an event. Imagine undertaking everything from inviting guests, creating budgets, securing the perfect location, catering, audiovisual, branded promotional items, or in the case of our next guest, she likes to call them swag bags. I love that. It's a lot to undertake for many of us, and just thinking about it, a sense of overwhelm, pressure, anxiety, fear, all of that takes over. That is why we leave event planning to the professionals. Save you time and a whole lot of headaches. Our next guest on the Get Uncomfortable podcast show is Lauren Caselli. Lauren helps entrepreneurs and small businesses conceive of, plan, and execute the complex flagship event they're looking to add into their business model. Imagine an annual coming out party, a launch event, or they're trying to engage some clients. Lauren is a business badass and knows a thing or two about getting uncomfortable. That is why Siobhan pulled her into our network. She said to me, "We gotta speak to Lauren. She's totally crushing it." Speaking of Siobhan, she also spearheaded this interview, which was recorded while I was on my business trip in the beautiful city of Boston, Massachusetts. This is her first interview, and I am very proud of Siobhan. She really had to get uncomfortable. She too had to figure things out and get the job done. That is what we do here at the Comfort Killer Zone. Regardless of setback, challenges, fear, obstacles, struggle, you find a way to stay on purpose and to stay on goal. Enjoy today's episode and take as many nuggets as you see fit. We like to give nuggets, golden bars, big old golden bars, nuggets, gems, diamonds for you to take. So take as many as you want. Lauren's website and other ways to connect to Lauren Caselli will be in the show notes. And without further ado, are you ready to get uncomfortable? Let's go.
Hello, this is Siobhan Atkins, and I'm here today with event planner extraordinaire Lauren Caselli. And I would like to introduce Lauren to everyone as an entrepreneur, an event planner, and just really an all-around expert in her field. So, Lauren, welcome to the Get Uncomfortable podcast.
Awesome. I am so excited to be here, and thank you for having me.
Oh, thank you so much. It's really a pleasure to have you with us today. From everything I know about you, it seems like you're really crushing it in your area. So I definitely was intrigued by your website. It has so much personality, and it really makes you feel like she can do everything. You know, so I'm gonna call her because it seems like you know, you just have a lot of knowledge and you're really in tune with your clients. So I have some questions for you. And first, we like, you know, on Get Uncomfortable, we really like to find out what it took for people to get to where they are. And for me, I'm wondering, was event planning something that you planned to do as you were growing up or going through school? Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, that's a great question. And I also really love that the podcast is called Get Uncomfortable, because I think so much of the journey of my journey came during the uncomfortable parts of my life. And so to answer your question, No, event planning was never kind of the end goal. But when I was in college, I went to school in Washington, D.C., and was really interested in foreign service. And so I did a lot of fundraising for nonprofits, as many people do. And a lot of fundraising is event planning.
Right.
And a lot of, you know, event planning is relationships.
Right.
And so that's kind of what I studied in college was culture and relationships and how that relates to politics. And so when I graduated, I really had loved the tangible product that came with kind of putting together an event or a program or something that you could see it manifest in front of you. You could watch people coming to an event and having fun and a good time and hopefully donating money.
Okay.
So I loved kind of seeing that, which I think sometimes with marketing or other avenues, you know, you don't really see, like, you kind of see it, but it's much more gradual. It's not kind of like up to the big hurrah.
Right.
So I loved that process, and so I graduated. I went into events right after college. I did weddings for a boutique firm in Manhattan in New York City, and then moved over to corporate events for about 4 years after that. And then I, long story longer, I moved out to Montana in 2012 as kind of a sabbatical. I kind of needed a break from New York City. I had been on the East Coast my entire life.
Oh, wow.
And when I got,
we're East Coast people, yes.
Right. And I was just taking a break for the summer. And when I got here, I had one of those really uncomfortable, like, 6 month periods of my life where I didn't know what I was doing.
Wow.
And there was this voice internally and externally that said, it's time for you to start a business. And so I started doing copywriting and marketing, actually.
Oh, wow.
And over the course of about a year and a half, this was like 2013 to 2014, I really missed the interaction that comes with event planning. You're on the phone with clients, you're, you know, in person with vendors, and I missed that. And so instead of going with the wedding route, which I think a lot of people in my state, in Montana, go the wedding route because there's not a big corporate scene here.
Right.
I decided that I would try to do a mix of copywriting and marketing and smaller projects that I could do at home, and then maybe a couple events in the more corporate or workshop or more like programmatic, which is what I used to do back in D.C. and New York.
Right.
So it was one of those things where it wasn't ever the goal, but when I got out of college and started doing events, I was like, nobody finds their thing that they love right out of college, and so I need to try and do something else. Like, I need to do something that's, you know, it's like I felt like I couldn't just pick
right
away. You have to do something and then do some other things. And
right.
So I think the departure was really good because when I finally came back to it, I was like, okay, yeah, this feels comfortable.
Oh, wonderful. Comfortably uncomfortable, right?
Yeah, the process was uncomfortable when I realized that, like,
this is where you need to be.
Thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So, you know, being an entrepreneur, when you decided, okay, I'm going to do this on my own, what shifted there for you? You know, what changes did you have to make maybe in your daily routine? Like, just what did you really have to do to get that going for yourself?
Yeah. Gosh, I really wish. It's so funny because I think a lot of entrepreneurs talk about the kind of before moments and then the after moments.
Right.
And for the first, like, 2.5 years of my business, I was in that before stage.
Okay.
And I used to, like, listen to podcasts like this and, like, read all these articles. And I just was waiting for it to get easier. And I think I just had to really struggle for a while.
Yeah. I think that's everybody's problem. You just have to go through it, right?
It's really defeating. But I think so I think when I started working from home and I stopped working out of an office, at least part-time, I think the hardest part for me was feeling disciplined enough to sit down and do the work. It was really tempting to kind of do other things in my house. It was really tempting to not hold myself accountable.
Right.
And that took work. And it didn't take active work. I think a lot of times we're like, okay, I'm going to actively work on setting a routine.
Right.
I kind of, over the period of doing it every day, over 6 months to a year and then a year and a half, I finally, it got comfortable working at home.
Right.
You know, it kind of became my place to work. So now when I go work offsite with a client, which I do sometimes in their office, it's so challenging.
Right.
I'm not used to working in an office anymore. I'm used to having my routine and my space. And so I think the number one thing that I've learned is you have to have patience with yourself, that a change in routine, a change in career, a change in business, any sort of change isn't just going to happen because it's what you want. You right. have to let yourself get used to it. And Absolutely. That is really hard.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And you use some big words like discipline and patience. There, you know, a lot of times, you know, people use that in terms of other people. And it's really important when it comes to yourself and, you know, your own growth and moving forward. And I can identify actually my resource center, as we call it, my job. I work from home now. And I've never, you know, this was the first time that I had to do that. So the discipline has to be there, or you can find yourself really in a bit of a mess. So, and, you know, all our businesses that we're working on now, we do everything at home. So, you know, it's easy to get sidetracked and deviate from your normal schedule. So it's really good to get that discipline going. So okay. Now, what steps did you have to take as far as directly related to event planning in your, you know, skill set and things like what did you have to do that maybe wasn't your strong point already that you really had to learn when you became an entrepreneur?
Yeah, that's such a good question. I think for me, and it's not really a mastermind, but we get together and drink wine and talk about business. I had a meeting last night with some women in my town that are also creative entrepreneurs, and
is that the Boss Lady event?
It's not that event. It's kind of like what the Boss Lady event came out of, or the Boss Lady event came out of that small group. So that's kind of my small group that they hold me accountable.
Very nice.
But we meet every like 6 weeks.
Okay.
And so we were talking about that piece, and I think event planning is really just extreme organization. It's just being really disciplined, and that's something that's always come naturally to me. I really love administrative tasks. I really love things that can be checked off, and event planning is really good for that.
Mm-hmm.
It's become more creative and strategic kind of as I've grown, but I think the thing that I wasn't good at was running a business and feeling confident in running a business, because I could plan an event all day long.
Right.
Like, easy, simple, no problem if I was like in a vacuum left on my own. But
right.
Before, I had been working with a boss or with colleagues, and we all kind of worked together and made decisions as a group, and
right.
there was somebody signing off on things.
Right.
But when I went out on my own, my clients, it took me a long time to get to feel like my clients weren't my boss, which is,
right.
I think, the hardest thing for me. So I think a lot of times when you work, so I was an assistant and then I can't remember what the next level up was, something. But I was like kind of at the lower like entry level.
Right.
I was only, you know, when I started out of college. And so I always had a boss.
Mm-hmm.
And when I started working with my own clients, I was like 26 or 27. And so I, in my head, couldn't like make
right.
the shift between my clients being
right, taking
peers
ownership of that and knowing that
yeah.
you kind of have the say-so now. And,
versus,
you know.
Yeah, versus the boss. And so
right.
I remember with my first client, who's Molly Mayhar of Stratajoy, and now I've been with her for two large events.
Wow.
I remember like going through the process with her and being like, so do you think we should do this about this? And she's like, I don't care, that's your job. And part of me was like, really?
Oh.
Like, you trust me to make this decision?
Absolutely.
And so, yeah, I think that was kind of the biggest shift in skills, was to build the confidence enough to start. Then now I can tell my clients to say, like, I don't really think this is a great idea for the atmosphere that you're trying to create.
Right.
And they listen, and they, you know, it's collaborative rather than
right.
me feeling like I'm their employee. So
right.
I think that was like the biggest mental shift. And it only, like, I could not do enough mantras to get rid of that. That had to like take practice
yeah.
and just do it and work with some clients who wanted to be my boss and realized that like those weren't the greatest clients to work with. So.
Right. I mean, that's huge. That's a huge mind shift. And I, you know, I think everyone listening can probably, you know, identify with that, you know, and that change in your life, especially when you've been working under or, you know, with, you know, someone, like you said, someone who's signing off or a boss for so long. It's really, you know, taking that ownership of your business and being the boss. So I have a question. Do you find now that your clients have a higher expectation for your clients' events than even they do when they initially come to you to start planning an event?
Yeah, I mean, hopefully, because I've had to really let go of being a perfectionist. I think that that's one of the things that has, as I've become more confident, I've like let some of the perfectionism go, because I think a lot of times working with clients is really working hard to manage their expectations.
Okay.
And to be, yeah, I was reading an article today in the New York Times about how when you go to the doctor's office, they always kind of give you these worst case scenarios. Like they're like, they never say like, you'll be fine. They're like, you're probably going to die. And then it's like nothing, you know, because they don't want to come at you with like roses and positivity, because they were managing their expectations.
Right.
And I think that's something that I've learned to get a lot better at, is to manage my clients' expectations. But I think being in the event world for 10 years and seeing some of the, I mean, my first job out of college, like they were spending like $500,000 on events, and like I was 22. So seeing that caliber of event and seeing the work that goes into planning that, and seeing that it's really possible with a small team, albeit very stressful.
Right.
So being exposed to very large events that have large budgets, and then working with clients kind of in a range of budgets, my expectation is always the client service will be excellent regardless of your budget. I will work hard for you regardless of your budget. And I think that is the one key piece that clients want to hear. It's like with any client-based business, service-based business, it's like your clients just want to feel heard and like you have their back. And I think a lot of times some of that other stuff falls away. You know, I just did an event this summer, which had a very, very short turnaround time. Mm-hmm. And it was a very large undertaking.
Okay.
And one of the biggest pieces of feedback I got was that they were like, it was really comforting every time we threw something at you, like 2 weeks out, you would be like, okay, we'll make it work.
Right.
And that was not even something that I thought of. That was more like, I knew that it could be done because I'd seen it been done before. And so even though they were like, is this something we can do? And I was like, yep, absolutely.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Right.
So I think my expectations are always higher, but my lens is also a lot wider than theirs. I think theirs is a little bit more narrow in terms of what they know for big events and what they can look like.
And that's what I was thinking. You have so much experience and you've done so many different types of events. Now you probably have all this, you know, knowledge and ideas that you can bring to the table. So that's really an asset for you and, you know, very helpful to your clients. So what advice would you give to someone who wants to be in your industry and enter the event planning industry? Do you find that it would be, are there some traits that they need to definitely have in order to be successful in that space?
Yeah. You know, this was another thing we were talking about last night. And I think the difference between like doing a passion that's your job or like following your passion and creating an income stream out of it versus knowing your skills and your strengths and then being able to monetize it. I don't know if I necessarily have the most skill related to event planning because to me, it's just, if you're really detailed and really administrative and can keep and have a great memory, that's another thing that for whatever reason for events, you have to have a great memory. If you have all of those things, and I think a lot of people do, people who like to host and have parties and have their friends over and are creative, you can absolutely get started in the event industry. And I was just really lucky in that I went to college and started interning in events and I liked it. But I think to be a business owner in the event industry, you have to be really a really good communicator and you have to be really, really confident. And that's every business, every client.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. And that doesn't come with opening up your shingle and starting to book clients. That comes with booking clients and messing up and booking clients and doing it right and booking clients and messing up and over and over and over again.
Okay.
And so I would say communication is a
it's big communication.
Thing. If you are a really good communicator, if you don't have any anxiety about saying no to people, if you can set expectations really well, and if you're really highly communicative, if you're okay being in your inbox a lot, events are all about communication. It's all about making sure that everyone's informed and people know what's going on, and that everyone's like awareness window is as open as it can possibly be, and you're the linchpin to making sure that window's open. So if you are a good communicator and you are, you know, clear and concise and not confusing and ask good questions and can direct the process, then you are golden, which is also like important for so many other industries.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's very valid point, you know, for so many people to take on and take with them. Definitely interesting to hear that. It seems like, you know, it's just such a culmination of skills, and you know, you just need to have more, maybe not even skills, like abilities, right? These things that you're able to do and do them well. You did mention failures, so here, I get uncomfortable. We like to kind of see, you know, what failures maybe have you learned the most from to that have really helped you be more successful in your career?
Yeah, so I was really lucky, kind of, in that when I started, like, my business ownership, I went I started with copywriting and marketing, which is essentially like I was doing websites and things like that. Mm-hmm. And I didn't really know what I was doing. Again, this whole, like, I thought I had a boss that was going to check in with me all the time, that was going to, like, kind of hold my hand through the process. And so I remember working with clients, one specific particular, in my first writing client, holy cow, I think I charged her like $100 for like a 5-page website, which is, as you know, nothing.
Right.
I don't remember. And I remember her email back to me after I sent her her first draft, because I hadn't, like, I didn't know how to listen, right? I kind of was like, oh, this is what I would want if this was my business, and here I wrote it. And she responded to me, and she's like, I'm so disappointed in this work. And
wow.
I was like,
oh, okay. Yikes.
And that was, like, a huge moment for me. I was like, it's my first client. I have to nail it.
Right.
And, oh, my gosh, it destroyed me for a long time. And then I worked with my – and then, like, 2 months later, I worked with, like, one of the biggest, like, organic dog toy companies, whatever. But I,
okay.
like, that, you know, I started working with, you know, a company who really believed in their mission, and they were really great to work with, and they loved everything that I did. And so, you know, that was a really uncomfortable 2 months to feel like I was not cut out for being a business owner. I wasn't cut out for this. But the reality was, it was, A, her communication style was, like, horrible. I just didn't know that.
Right.
You know, when she would give me feedback, she would, like, not give me great feedback. And I didn't know how to, like, pull feedback from her.
You just kind of took it and tried to figure it out on your own.
Yeah. So I kind of, she, like, never get, and then I would just, like, you know, it was like matching socks in the dark. I would send her another draft, and she'd be like, nope, not this either. And then I send another draft, and she'd be like, not really. And so it was like, you're, like, eyes are closed, and you're trying to just, like, find a matching sock. And So... yeah, I think.
But it's great that you were able to recoup from that, you know, eventually. But that's you know, a struggle that a lot of people go through, is the failure, and then having that time where you feel like, you know, oh, I can't do this. But, you know, you not giving up is really important.
Forward. It was really important to, you know, I was on an inquiry call the other day with a team, and they were like, so have you ever had an event that started that you were on project with and didn't end up going through, like they had to cancel it?
Mm-hmm.
And in my head, I was like, no. And then I got nervous, because I was like,
are you going to cancel?
Have one. Like, there has to be one so that I can learn from it. And I'm like, oh, which one's it going to be?
Right.
So, at any rate, so, you know, I think with, you know, when I'm working with entrepreneurs and creative businesses and helping them do, like, selling strategy and sell their tickets and really kind of, like, evaluating whether or not their event will be, like, quote-unquote successful, you know, there's never a guarantee, and you do have to make that call, and I have yet to be in that position, which, holy cow, knock on wood, now I'm worried that what if I am
something
in that position?
Waiting for something to fall through.
it has to happen all the time. Like, you know, events definitely get planned, and they don't go through because of timing or whatever, and yeah, so... Fortunately, I got some of those failures early in the first 2 years of my business, and I wasn't doing events, but...
that's what everyone would hope for, right? Not always how it turns out, but that's wonderful that you were able to get through that. So can you give us a little idea of kind of a day in the life of the actual date of the event? Like, what are you working on? What's going through your mind on those days? What are your top, you know, things that you have to make sure are in order on the day of?
So on the day of an actual event, so I am different than a lot of event planners in that I try to do fewer than 6 or 7 events a year, even 7 for okay. clients is like a lot. Okay. So it's a big plan process. And okay. then usually my days are, it's usually not just like a wedding, which a wedding is like 6 hours or so. It's usually like 8 a.m. to like 5 or 6 or 7 p.m., mm-hmm. Sometimes 2 or 3 days. Okay. So the stamina required to do it, physical stamina, is really, really high, okay. which is different than, you know, copywriting or another, or other types of service-based businesses. Okay. So the typical day looks like I'm up very early. I usually don't sleep, and that's just because I run really well on adrenaline. Okay. But I usually am up really early. Mm-hmm. I usually do a staff meeting the night before or the day before if I can do like a training meeting with the staff. Sometimes I have to do it in the morning. Mm-hmm. And I have like a staffing plan. And my whole job is to do the most robust staffing plan that I can and assign every single task to somebody else.
Okay.
So that when something goes wrong or when somebody needs me or when a question hasn't been answered, which is inevitably always,
right.
I am available. Myself is available to not be managing something.
Right.
So I think that's like the key piece is that, you know, people are always like, well, you'll be there to manage. And I was like, I either need one assistant from your team or I need a team of, depending on the event, I need a team from your company of like 5 to 10, depending on how big the event is,
okay.
or I'll bring in hired labor.
Okay.
Because the day of the event, I literally cannot have any jobs. I just need to put out fires because
right.
it happens. It,
right.
Like, I have never been to an event that not
there was no fire. Yeah.
yeah. And so I think that is kind of what the day looks like. And it starts with me just, like, really going over the staffing plan, making sure that I'm on point. I do, like, a touch base with the team. And then I have a list of, like, all the tasks that need to get done. And then the team does the tasks. And I'll help if there's, you know, nobody needs me. Then I'll help kind of, like, do the setup or, you know, do registration. I like to be around registration because that's okay. the first point of contact where
right.
people experience your event. And so I like to be there to make sure the process is good, they're giving out the right information. Because a lot of times with volunteers or with company members, they don't do it all the time. And so it takes them like the first 10 people to kind of be like, okay, now I've got it in my head and I'm
process.
Telling them the right things. But
okay.
those first 10 people are like, they're like, what do I need to tell them?
Yeah,
so
right. It's kind of like...
right. And then... about the most stressful part of the day is about 15 to 30 minutes before the actual program starts.
Mm-hmm.
And that's usually when I'm like with the AV guy, making sure sound is up, making sure all the PowerPoints are ready to go, making sure everyone's kind of like got food, and making sure checking in with the caterer, making sure that like nobody is freezing cold or hot or, you know, whatever. And then once the MC or whoever it is like gets up on the stage and is like, welcome to the event, and like the lights dim and people sit down, that is like the moment where I'm not like relaxed, but
mm-hmm.
I'm like, okay,
okay,
now I can like focus on the next thing at hand.
Right.
And I think with that event, with most events,
So your role is definitely to make yourself available for the things that are top number one, need to be done right now. You know, and I think that's a great plan that you have. And I was going to ask before if you have employees, but obviously, so you do most of this, the communication with the client on your own. And until the event, you may have hired labor in addition to vendors and maybe some of the staff from your organizations you're working with, right?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, for right now, I think, you know, that's another, you know, hiring is a whole different bear. But I think, you know, I've been doing events full time for about a year and a half. For myself.
Okay.
And a lot of times I'll get contracted out by large companies who have event teams. They just don't have this specific event experience. And
okay.
so they usually don't want to spend the money to have a team because they have a team. And that's
okay.
worked well. But probably going into 2017, I'll hire at least remotely for someone to help with some of the more administrative tasks so that I can work on growing the business a little bit more, which is fun.
Absolutely. As long as there's an outlook, it's nice to be growing. And, you know, I'm telling you, you have a wonderful presentation. Speaking to you, I definitely, you know, feel like, you know, everything you're doing is really fantastic in the way that you handle it and how, you know, your communication with your clients. I would hope that we get to work together in the future. So my last you know, question. You mentioned getting up early. Do you have any daily rituals or anything that you have to do every day to you know, just to feel, you know, to have that energy, or aside from the adrenaline, which some people, you know, some people like me just don't have a lot of that going on. So what do you do on a daily basis that really helps you out? You know, I know you're a writer and everything, so you have those things that kind of probably help you release, but what else do you do as a daily routine?
It's really simple, actually, and I think, you know, I've been traveling the last 3 weeks, and that's been really hard, because the like, three things that I do in the morning that just really ground me is I wake up, I try to be up by 7 or 7:30 before the emails start coming in, because usually emails start coming in about 8:30, because I have clients on the East Coast, so, so I try to be up about an hour and a half to an hour before the emails start coming in, and I have to wake up in my own bed during the week when I'm working, which is really terrible when I'm traveling,
right,
which is about 4 or 5 times a year. And then I wash my face to kind of like just get a different temperature. It's hot in my apartment, so it's just to get a different temperature on my body. I wash my face, I brush my teeth, and then I make a cup of coffee, and then I just usually sit on my couch, like cross-legged, and just don't do anything.
Right. Hey, I mean, but that's something that's comforting, and it helps you kind of probably get focused and centered for the day, just having that clear mind and that coffee.
Yeah, I think it's just like the changes in temperature and the really just sitting and being awake prior to feeling like anything is pulling at me. And I think sometimes, you know, I'll do that, and then I'll sit at my desk and kind of catch up from the day before, and that makes me feel better, because then I'm not running into the day at 9 a.m. like so overwhelmed and so overloaded.
Absolutely.
So I just, yeah, I need about an hour to just be with myself. And sometimes that's reading, sometimes that's writing, sometimes that's sitting on the couch. I don't really try to stress myself out about what it looks like. I really just try to not feel called to start working right away.
Wow. I think that's great. And I really, really appreciate you doing this interview with me today. We are going to share all of your information. You can find Lauren at laurencaselli.com, and we will share all your other social medias with our guests, and we'll make sure you get a copy of this interview. I definitely would recommend you to anyone looking to plan an event. I think also working remotely is really a plus. That's really awesome. Technology has opened up so much for us. And I also want to thank Stacey Cross for allowing us to have this interview without her. She is usually the ringleader. And I know you are a busy woman, so thank you so much, Lauren. And we'll be in touch.
Great. Thanks
All right.
so much.
Take
have
care.
A wonderful day.
Yep. You too. Take care.
Bye.
Thanks so much for listening to the Get Uncomfortable podcast show with your host, Stacey Cross of thecomfortkillers.com. We'll catch you next time.